Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
Got a hoarding issue here at Hello Sport.
Got a bit of hoarder about us, don't we, mate? And it's becoming annoying because I actually crave cleanliness and order and simplicity.
I was honestly the other night gonna say to Steph, like, go home, put the girls to bed, and then I was like, I'm gonna go back to the office by myself, just potter around, just tidy this fucking joint.
You were going to potter.
I was going to come around here and I was going to fucking Harry Potter around the joint.
You were going to potter around.
I was going to, whatever a disappearing fucking spell was, and just clean house. Like, when you think about how much shit is in our fucking storage area out there, I reckon truthfully, 10% necessary.
Well, can I come over the top of you? And this is a real insight into Hello Sport HQ here, punters and dribblers. So you're in for a real treat here. We need the time crisis. It has sentimental value.
Yes, of course. But it's broken currently.
It actually works all right.
Well, if you leave it on for long enough, it starts to fire up. But if you just turn it on to play, it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. So it needs to be warmed up, so to speak.
Not completely broken, but like warmed up for like hours.
Like spark plugs on an old diesel ute, if you know what I'm talking about. Now, we've also got a couch in there. I think a six-piece modular top. That's not going anywhere with a built-in radio. That remains.
Despite the fact it's very unuseful.
That's right. Although it does remain. We've got old pieces of cardboard or like those white signs that we fucking painted shit on once upon a time. We've got the Big Day Rosé pop-up.
That's important.
Stuff, which is important.
In the tubs I'm more talking
I
about.
I think you're talking tubs. Yeah. So 90% of the stuff in the tubs is probably a better way of phrasing it.
Yeah, you're right. But there's like five or six tubs.
Full of shit.
Full of absolute shit. We brought back from Las Vegas our shooting range targets that are now sitting on the floor.
But what about this, Tom? What if we found a home for these items, right? Just work with me here. Mm-hmm. If we were to move studio, which we will.
Yeah.
Not right now, but we will. Because we're growing and we've outgrown our small home. What if we had like a memory room?
I know.
Or a pool room where all of our things could be displayed?
Yeah.
Or is that just a fucking pipe dream? And the chances of us getting framed up our shooting targets from Vegas, is that just dumb?
I think that the chances of them ever getting used, unlikely. But I think that there's some sentimental shit in that garage that we could potentially, you know, we're adding pieces to the Shane Keith puzzle, and now we have no room here. Shout out to You Wouldn't, who have just joined us. Go check out You Wouldn't, new podcast who's come under the umbrella. So there's no fucking room.
There's no fucking room.
There's just fucking.
But also, sometimes I don't know if we like. There's not enough room, but then do we do enough? I'll be honest with you. It's important that I'm honest with the punter and the dribbler. I need to be as honest as I possibly can, and I'm ashamed to say this. Absolutely ashamed, humiliated even.
Jesus.
The last dribble sits on the floor over there. It's not even hung.
No. That dartboard that was given to us.
Which is our favorite gift.
Our favorite gift, not even hung.
Not to
impugn the other gifts we've had. Thank you so much for them. But like that dartboard is craftsmanship.
What if you put it on that wall?
You could put the dartboard?
Yeah.
It's around too much tech shit.
Yeah, you can't trust drunk cunts.
No.
That's the problem.
No, you can't.
And we've looked. Heaven fucking knows we've looked for a spot for this dartboard and we can't find one because we don't trust the aim of a drunk Sebo, a techie Sebo.
You like, can't put it on that bathroom, the door to go towards the bathroom. Someone will walk in, open the door and get a dart in the eye.
We can't put it on the set. They'll get ruined. We can't put it around technology. Get fucked. So, you know, our favorite ever gift, the dartboard, sits on the floor over there behind the About Even desk. I mean, And yet, as these things sit, Tom, as these things sit, we've got shit everywhere else that appears to have pride of place. Boxes over here. Fucking boxes over there. The garage is a complete mess.
Now, like, I mean, look, a broken trophy, which you snapped the other day.
I did snap it, but it was, but I maintained not made of the right stuff.
Well, the trophy? Well, yep. it was a very delicate golf club on there, and it just...
Like, that golf champion's trophy, which is huge and ostentatious, and we got it to make a bit of a cheap gag about us beating Seb and Hamish Street. Check it out. That was our first match play Tom and I were in. Absolutely crushed them. Got into Street's mind immediately. I was driving 270 into the wind.
Yeah, I was putting my ass off. I actually don't know if I was.
Proof's in the pudding.
Would probably suggest I wasn't.
Check the tapes, it happened. So... I mean, that's got pride of place.
Listen,
but the last dribble on the floor, not good enough.
You know what else has pride not of good place enough. On that table, though? Cords. Just cords. Anyway, listen, is it right for us to come here on our own show and, you know, people just want a distraction, they want something to listen to, and we just come in and we complain about the state of this place?
We're not complaining. We're being honest and authentic.
Yeah. Speaking truth, though.
That's right. Speaking truth. With that in mind, if you have like a great space, you want to maybe dangle in front of us
like
for
Alexandria,
later in the year,
Marrickville, sure. Fucking, it can be anywhere. If you want to give us a really, 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 really competitive price, that'd be really.
Then cool. We're all ears. We're not moving right now, but we're prepared to move in 6 months.
Bit of housekeeping while we're on it. We're actually looking for a sales guy or girl, but sales guy is almost more of a colloquial term. Like, I'm a big sales guy.
Sales guy or girl.
Yes, but that's basically all. I mean, like, fucking, if you've got experience, reach out. I don't know if I want to go into too much detail. Obviously, you need to be able to fucking...
Well, the detail I'll go into is you need to know how to fucking sell podcasts. Like, you need to have, like, media connections and shit.
Podcasts, social, et al. There's a job here. There's a job going. Yep. That's all we're saying.
Well, there's a job will be created.
Yeah.
There's not one going currently.
Well, no, as in there is a job like going for you. Not like there's a job.
If you're great and we like you, girl or guy, job's yours.
Yeah.
And we can iron out creases later.
And that's across everything. That's across Hello Sport. We mean well, about even. You wouldn't fucking anything else that comes up.
Yeah. Oh, there's things.
There's things. We should this seems like a job that you probably need to be a little more formal with as well. I don't know why. Just feels.
What do you mean?
Well, like as in...
Sales guys aren't formal. They're
no,
fucking...
No, I know, but like, do we need to...
They're renegades,
to, like,
mate. They're cowboys.
Up, do I need to fire up the old LinkedIn account?
You?
Well, I've got one. I fucking hate it.
Why would you fire up the LinkedIn account?
Well, then you go and find someone.
Oh, fuck that. We're hoping someone comes to us.
I know.
I don't want to fire up shit.
I know, but you might have to,
send
right?
in your regos to...
If you're sick of your sales job and you want to just... get out of the fucking rat race. I mean, you'll still technically be in it, but you'll be way more relaxed.
But also, if you're like a Devon salesman, right? If that's all you've ever done and that's all you know is selling Dubbo's finest export, Devon, I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of crossover. I'm happy to sit down and have a yarn with you.
We won't, though.
But it's...
You won't sit down and have a yarn with a Devon salesman.
If you, dude, if you sell Devon... I'll have a beer with you.
No, that's true.
I'll have a beer with you because, like, there's a yarn.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. But you probably won't. Not probably.
You won't get a job.
You won't get a job.
No, you won't get a job.
But a little, you know, you want to peek behind the curtain. When we advertised for our most recent hire, shout out to the White Mamba, who is replacing Tommy Tobler today, who is off sick. Cody Bryan. There was a particular. I don't want to shame anyone. We got a resume in there. And one of the skill sets that they said, like, what, you know, and it's like your skills, was competent in speaking English.
Oh, yeah. Someone said that they could speak English well.
And all they'd done is work at, like, a news agency. And, like, that's fine. You don't, but it's like old fucking White Mamba over here basically had me coming with his resume.
Well, White Mamba, he saw the brief, he saw what we're asking for, and he delivered and then some, as opposed to we didn't ask for someone that works at a news agency.
No. Or we didn't
I respect
think that-
I respect news agencies in this great nation.
And news agents.
Isn't
the people that, is that what you'd be called if you worked at a news agent Are you an agent of the news? Is that what you're called, or you just use work?
I think that you work in a news agency. I don't know if you'd be called a news agent, although now you've got me thinking. But I mean, I like going into a news agency and buying the paper, maybe buying a scratchy, maybe buying a lotto ticket, maybe getting a Powerade. Like, I like that, and there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
But it doesn't necessarily cross over with what we do here at SKP. That's Shane Keith Productions.
Yeah. It also felt like it wasn't a prerequisite we needed to specify that English be something you were competent in. Competent, actually, we need more than competent. Like, what's competent? Is that like, I can understand it?
You need to be, or what's the word?
Fluent?
Fluent in English. Yeah. Doesn't need to be your first language.
No, fuck no.
But you need to be able to fucking have a yarn with me.
Wasn't my wife's first language. I'm not anti non-English speaking people.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be your first language, but you need to be fluent in it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's asking for too much.
No.
For a bloke that doesn't speak any other languages, no. How the fuck would we talk to each other?
No, that would be difficult.
So, unfortunately, if you don't speak any English, you're fucked.
Yeah. Well, you probably can't even understand this, so you won't be applying.
And if you think that's not, if you don't think that's right, too bad, because I'm making the fucking calls over here and I'm calling the shots. Make sense? Cool. Submissions, turbo@hellosport.com.au. Don't send through bullshit. Don't send through wishy-washy nonsense. If you're a sales guy or girl and you want to get the fuck out of what you're doing, come join us and, you know, you can come to the green pasture, as it were, the green field.
The grass is greener on the other side.
Is it greener, White Mamba?
Absolutely.
See? I actually feel bad now I didn't set him up with a camera.
Well, fuck it.
No, he's not getting one. It's too late. But White Mamba didn't get a camera, and I feel bad now.
Now, White Mamba is on the ones and twos, not the ones and twos. He's Dioring today. He said he's been practicing, so like that.
Yeah, just at home.
Really? Yeah. I can't tell if you're taking the piss or not.
No, when I sit over there in my corner, I just try and keep pace, you know?
So, as in, if you hear us like saying something like... Brrr.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, I just saw the heat that Tobler got on his debut, and I was like, I better be, you know.
Yeah. The kid's good.
Yeah, he is.
The kid's really good.
And listen, I don't want to, like, but you take a day off, right? You miss you, like...
Listen, Tom Brady... Okay, you know, I can't remember the quarterback's name that he replaced at New England.
That's the point.
But who's that? What was that guy's name?
Fucking who knows?
He fucks off with injury, and then the big fella comes in. Tom Brady wins. He wins Super Bowls.
Super Bowl.
And that's it.
But they won the Super Bowl that year.
They won the Super Bowl that year. Yeah.
So, listen, we love Tobler, but. He wasn't promised a lifelong position on that desk, and if Cody steps up.
Well, he was promised nothing.
Promise absolutely nothing.
The cream rises to the top, and if you're the best at the job, then you get the job. It's very simple.
There is a world where I don't think Tobler was practicing Dioring before he became a Diora.
No, I think that he was of the opinion that past Dior, Dave, was a bit special or a bit slow at the job. I think underestimated what it takes to be a great Diora and came in high on his own supply, a bit cocky, bit sure of himself.
I'll just dye my hair blue. That's enough. No, it's not. It's not enough.
Oh, I love that you dyed your hair blue.
No, it was great.
Yeah. It was fucking terrific. But you've also got to be able to look shit up. So we'll see how Cody K goes today.
Have you got anything for us there? Have we asked any questions that you may have already Diored?
Not yet.
Okay.
We've asked nothing.
That's right. But maybe, I tell you what Diorers out there should be aware of as well. And obviously I'm kind of just speaking directly to Cody or Tobler or Willie B there. If you hear us just talk about something, you should almost just start Dioring it in case you're able to add some information to it.
I think that's where he's been practicing. Also, shout out to Cody for lifting our design game. Thank you to all that have noticed.
Well, they have. He designed the new punters and dribblers signage, if you could use that word.
What does everyone think about that new...
I fucking love it.
I like it.
Got my
dick. If that went on a shirt, would people's penises and vaginas start to tingle?
I think so.
I'm asking a general question.
Well, there's no one to give you a direct answer though, right?
So they can provide feedback in other ways.
Yeah, directly they can. Yeah, they comment, but like right now they can't. So I mean, otherwise you could ask that. Ask the question again.
I was letting it hang in the air.
Yeah, ask it again.
I was letting it hang in
the
air.
No, ask it again.
No, I've already said it.
No, I'm just saying, just do it and then it'll play out. Just go. Ask it again.
Okay. Do the punter and the dribbler and the dribblette would they be interested in potentially seeing White Mamba's punters and dribblers artwork on a shirt? Would that tingle their penises and vaginas? So we're giving you room to like leave comments here. That does that make sense?
That was where they'd yes. Yeah, that's it.
Or no. I'd be shocked. I'd be a little offended.
Yeah, I'd be upset. So sales guy or girl, yep. Reach out. turbo@hallowsport.com.au. Punters and dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now you can follow along all of our bets at the About Even private group on the Neds app. You can also follow our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but the civilian bets is where you can see me getting my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
Wow, Eddie, just you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full pixie stuff. So now you're just gonna say you're gonna talk about the fucking profiles tab as no. well? You're gonna talk about the About Even group? Yeah?
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, code dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go. Good. Yeah. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in the chance? Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallowsport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallowsport.shop, bang, rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up. What's caught your eye this week, Tom?
Mate, today feels like it's a Thursday podcast of old. Like, it's funny, even with rugby league back and all the fucking racism shit aside, there's not much, doesn't feel like there's a fuckload going on in the world of sport at the moment, right? Like, we fucked the Kiwis up on Monday, we saw that. They embarrassed themselves in the cricket, right? They obviously can't win. They have no idea what they're doing.
They got nervous.
But they do. They haven't beaten us for 30 years or something. They've beaten us once in 30 years. You know what I'm saying? They suck. So there was that, but that happened on Monday. I'm like trying to – this. It feels like a Thursday potty to me where there's not actually like an overt amount of rugby league. This is being recorded on a Wednesday, Arvo, punters and dribblers. I'm a little consumed by this royal photo scandal. It's real tinfoil hat shit for me. Princess, is she princess or queen? Kate? No, she's a princess, right? Kate?
She would be...
Kate, is that her name?
Yeah, Kate Middleton. She would be...
A princess.
Princess Kate...
Of Wales?
Kate, Princess of Wales.
Sure. She has she's had some health scare. She's been missing in action.
Is something to do with her face?
No. I think it was like her abdominal.
She had abdominal surgery.
Quick.
Good.
Abdominal surgery, right?
So it wasn't... I heard a whisper on the wind that there might be something to do with her face. Is that bullshit? This is all abdominal? Look into it.
So apparently abdominal surgery, MIA. We don't know what the surgery was for. But she's been out of action, and everyone's like, what the fuck's going on? Where is she?
Yep.
People like are really always like, where are you with the royal family, it would seem. Then the fucking palace are like, oh, she's back. Here's a photo. Now, you've got to be some sort of sick puppy to really care enough to go and like inspect it, inspect the photo. But Photoshop City. Hands were weird, apparently. Wasn't wearing a wedding ring. Something to do with the buttons. Now, when that was called out by psychopaths who have too much time on their hands.
Well, it was rejected by newspapers.
Only after someone realised it. Initially, it wasn't. Initially, it was fucking published.
Oh, right. So it was only the sickos of the internet. Well, I mean, does that surprise you?
No,
though?
No, it doesn't at all. In fact, it actually is.
Nothing
part of
goes. Nothing. You can't get. Listen, in our world, even just to use our little tiny niche as a corner
of the internet.
Nothing gets through the keeper.
No.
Nothing gets through the keeper at all, let alone the royal family. I'll remind you of this fact, Tom. I believe Princess Diana, may she rest in peace, the most photographed person all time.
At the time, probably not anymore.
No, all time.
Bullshit.
I think that was when, but that's the zenith of...
The photo.
Of, no, of magazines.
Yeah, and photos
of,
now...
Of tabloids.
Yeah, but photos now are more ubiquitous, so like there's no way she'd be the most photographed person now, surely.
Katie K... On the ones and twos.
Yeah, she... So, with the image that came out, basically it was, like you said, like just a bunch of people were kind of speculating that it had been edited and, like, blurred and stuff, especially, like, around their hands. I couldn't see anything about the face.
Okay. Now, look, if Princess Di is still the most photographed person of all time. Anyway, so this photo has now been debunked as fake, right? Kate comes out. Kate of Missing in Action fame, and is like, oh, sorry, like a lot of fucking photographers, I'm a bit of a, you know, I like to experiment with Photoshop and editing. You're like, are you telling me that Kate is getting onto fucking Adobe Premiere or whatever the fuck it's called, Adobe Photoshop, and photoshopping her family photos that then... Do you don't think every photo that gets released by the palace is vetted by 1,000 cunts? Are you telling me that she is photoshopping photos where her wedding ring's fucking not there anymore, where her hands are all weird and shit, and then they're getting released? Or, which is what, like, I feel like she's been thrown under the bus by the palace, where they've been like, just come out and say you photoshopped it. Obviously, there's something more going on. We can't admit to it that this whole thing's fucking bullshit and that you may even be dead. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, there's something more going on.
Well, listen. I think that we like, as a people, to let our minds run wild and free, like Brumbies
on a paddock. Before the helicopters
fly over. Well, like Brumbies in the snowy, mate. You know what I mean? Wild and free.
Before they get culled from a helicopter.
Well, pre-cull. A pre-cull Brumby.
Yeah, okay.
Pre-cull.
Yeah, good.
Not even aware of the cull.
No, they don't know.
Helicopter's not in the air
they
yet.
They can't hear the chopper.
Well, the helicopter's not in the air yet.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
They're actually fueling up the chopper at
they're
the
fueling the bitch up. Yeah, it hasn't left the fucking
they're
pad. Loading, so it's got freedom on its
They're loading
mind.
Bullets into the guns, fueling up the chopper. These Brumbies are completely unaware that they're about to be murdered.
But at this point in time that I'm referring to, they're good to go.
Yeah, okay.
They're free as fuck.
Yeah.
We can let our minds wander to a point where we think that maybe Kate of Middleton, formerly fame, is dead, and that they're
I don't actually think she's dead, because I think she was literally photographed like going to a function the other day.
Right.
Something's up.
Is there a chance that Kate Middleton turns out to be like many other women out there who maybe aren't happy about a particular part of a photo of their body? Maybe she's seen her hands and said, I don't like them, and she's face-tuned them and fucked them up. Is that possible?
Have you seen the photo? Because it's like, it's not like that much has been done. The hands don't, like, yes, of course that is possible. Absolutely it is.
I'm just trying to work out why the fuck they would release an edited photo, to what end, to what point.
Because if she's sicker than they're letting
on. But
she
used to say she's been sent in public after that.
You know what? And I semi retract that. I read that she was photographed like, and you'll have to look this up, Cody, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But that she was like photographed leaving whatever fucking palace that she was at with Prince William. Mm. Shave your head, bruh. And like
he does shave it, sort of, doesn't he?
No, Anyway, he was going somewhere and she didn't go with him. She went somewhere else, but you didn't really know. So it's like she's there, but like,
yep.
It just seems like they're lying to the punter and the dribbler. And I'm just like, what's going on? Why are you photoshopping that shit? Why are you sending it out? Then her being like, oh, sorry, yeah, whoops, I photoshopped. In what world?
They like to move in the shadows. They always have.
They do, but as if she just fucking gets to post something. Like, it's all, from everything you hear, like, that's the, they're the most tightly controlled fucking people on earth. Like, you think she just gets to Photoshop photos and submit them for release?
I don't think, well, it seems unlikely, doesn't it? But yeah. Also, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, it's...
So then wouldn't it...
But it's rumour after rumour with the royal family. You know, what? Like, last year, I mean, last month, rather, Charles the King... He gets cancer. People think he's about to drop dead and die.
He doesn't sound like he's well.
It doesn't sound like he's well. What's going on here? Is Kate with us? Is she not? I mean, it's one conspiracy theory to another with the royal family, I think.
Oh, I heard another conspiracy theory today. And it's not like, again, it's...
Not the pegging one.
No, not the pegging one. This is a different one that I saw. And this is something that like... I'm not out there seeking these, right? And obviously algorithms are what they are, but this is like our Hello Sport YouTube, so it's not even something where it's like...
It's just out there.
It's just out there. That Manuel Macron, is he the head of fucking... is he the French president? Prime minister, whatever it is?
Yeah, Macron is the French president, yeah.
That his wife, who's 70, and he's like 50-something...
He's pretty good looking.
Yeah.
For but, someone of his age.
Well, first, okay, so the yarn is that she's a man.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Is that fair income? So 20 years he's senior and a man.
Bro, apparently a teacher at his school, and he was 15 when he met her. That's like not even, I don't even know if that's disputed, that part.
Is that French shit, or is that like, is that no, odd?
I think that's odd.
Even for the French?
I know the French like to, you know, get down, but like...
And again, I'm not like, we've got a couple of French listeners. I think
Sam Asif, I think.
Sam Asif. Yeah, big fan of your work,
bro. You're actually Sam Asif, probably one of the more preposterous dribblers that we have, just in terms of like how we came across your desk.
But we love you.
No, big we absolutely love you.
I'm just wondering if in your country it's normal for that sort of thing to go on.
Reach out, actually.
Is that like a nice Is that sort a, of situation?
Well, no. Well, not if it's... Well, yeah, sure, maybe. But also,
nice.
Is there whispers in amongst the sort of French water coolers that Macron's misso actually a dude?
Yeah, Sammy, you're the best place. Well, given you're the only French person I know, you're best place to help us out.
Yeah, have you found anything about?
Yeah, I was just looking into it. He said he's worked with her since like the 80s.
That's not enough info. Where did they meet?
He's like just come out basically and denied that she's a man.
Right. Which you would.
Sure. If
fact, like...
If his wife or husband has been masquerading as a woman for these entire presidency, I think you'd be looking to...
Well, that would be... And again, I found it more funny that, like, if that were true, let's allow our minds to wander on a Thursday, in fact.
Like a Brumby pre-cull.
Like a Brumby pre-cull. Chopper not in the sky yet. No bird in the sky yet. But, like, if that story broke, that Macron's wife was actually a 70-year-old
man
and they've been hiding that for however long, that would be the most absurd political scandal of all time, right?
Do you think more absurd than Bill getting worked in the office? That's Bill Clinton.
What do you reckon? You're telling me a horny, older fucking man getting sucked off, the most powerful man on the planet getting sucked off by a fucking staffer.
By an intern.
Is more crazy than the fucking leader of France being married to a man who's 30 years his senior.
And masquerading as
a woman.
Not trans, just masquerading as a woman.
Well, maybe trans. I don't know.
But that hasn't been communicated.
No, exactly. That would be bigger than Bill Clinton getting sucked off.
I don't know. The Yanks moved the needle, mate.
Yeah, but like, Heady.
No.
Jesus well, listen, Christ. Listen.
Is there anything, have you found anything there?
I just, all I can find is that it was a conspiracy theory that was published in like a French far-right journal. And it was claimed that it was a result of a 3-year investigation supported by pseudo experts. So it's very
pseudo experts.
What website?
This is from TRT World.
What's that?
I'm just reading like a news article. Right. But the journal was called Fates et Documents, like some French.
I wonder. I don't have a dog in the fight here because I barely know much about what's going on in France generally, right? In fact, I know almost nothing. Whatever this thing was that was pushing me towards extremely left of field conspiracy theories was like, there's no photos of this person when they're younger. They're like, just if you're a woman, just show me photos of you when you're like at college.
Right, so that's like,
well, like that, show
but
us
that's,
photos.
But that's not evidence.
It's not evidence to prove that. Of course, no. It's not. Of course, no. It's not. There are many points in this yarn that don't necessarily stack up, punters and dribblers. And one of those being prove it or you're guilty.
Yeah, prove it or you're guilty prove is not really how we work.
You know, so I am aware of that, but it was only because we got onto fucking Kate Middleton's photo.
So what do you think's happening with Kate Middleton?
I don't know. Just to me, it seems like, why would she be like, as if, I just find it hard to believe she's out there photoshopping, fucking around. The photo was meant to be this like, she's back.
Yes.
Thingo,
yes.
And it's been photoshopped. And then now it's like, oh no, sorry, I just fuck around on Photoshop. And it's like, but the palace release, like that to me is one where it's just like, something's going on.
Well, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's really, 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 really weird.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with all these things, as if I needed to point it out, we just don't know. So we're going to sit here with our fucking aluminium hats on, speculating about whether or not the future Queen of England or the future Queen Regent is dead or not.
Again, I don't think it's about her being alive or dead. But it was
said it.
I was joking more in the dead bit, but it was just more that like something like, I mean, to be honest, like again, you'd hope she's not fucking sick, right? Like, but it was just more that like, in the attempt to try and make it seem like everything's all good.
No, but it's weird. I'm not going to use the word steel man because we don't know what it means yet. But
you're going to need to look up steel man, straw man because we're going to educate ourselves on this podcast.
But if I was to steel man an argument, again, I could be using the wrong term here.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of people say
it. You would need to. Yeah.
We want to bring it into
our lives. We want to bring it into our lives. I hear heaps of people saying it and I like it. Really smart people say it. Smart people say steel man. And I want to steel man an argument. And so let me. And even if it's wrong, I'm using it anyway.
No, steel man it for me, bro.
I'm going to steel man it for you. They almost, it almost seems to me like they've got so desperate here that they have resorted to using a clearly photoshopped image to try to Hail Mary this thing.
Yeah, like everything's
either
all
that's
good.
The case or the media managers are fucking
idiot. Yeah, which could be true. Like, and this isn't to impugn the good work of media managers across the board, but there are some fucking dead shits out there.
Yeah, but you would think that if you were going to get the gig at the palace, that you would have to have some fucking runs on the board.
Yeah, I know, but like
they're not hiring the old dead shit from next door.
Remember, like some of those absolute numbskull White House press secretaries. Remember how they used to have to go out and answer questions, and you'd see them during where you just have like, you see people that are not cut out for the fucking job.
That's true. But I mean, you could argue that of just American politics generally.
Sure. But well, like, I mean, even just in our own political sphere, like, there are fucking absolute numbskulls.
Yeah. I mean, you say to yourself, is this the best we've got? And the answer is no, because the best we've got work for private money.
Yeah, they don't want to put themselves in that situation. The people that get into politics in Australia are poons and noobs who are not very socially well-adjusted.
Virgins. So, but in regards to the palace, you would think that there'd be enough cheddar there to entice someone of the right quality, of the right stock, to prevent a bed shit like this from taking place? What have they answered the critics?
They made her go out. She came out and was like, sorry, I'm a photo.
She said, I'm an amateur
photographer. She's like most amateur photographers, I like to fuck around. It's like, bullshit, cunt.
Right.
You didn't take those photos. Some palace photographer took them, and then they go back to their little editing suite and they fuck with it. You didn't do it.
Very, very interesting.
I feel like there are more conspiracies kicking around at the moment than ever. Like in our entire, like just.
Yeah, well, of course there is.
But obviously it's the disinformation era, but like.
It's not disinformation. It's that everyone can have an opinion and everyone has a voice and everyone has a platform. That's why.
Yeah, but even like people had a voice and a platform 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like,
no, but now, no, but there's been hectic. But there's been a mistrust in established
media.
So now people have to look elsewhere. And people, in my opinion, don't know how to fact check anything. If they see something or read something, that's it. That's fact. They don't look for a counter argument.
No.
So I think that's got part of that's definitely part of it. For sure. And TikTok, people just sit on TikTok now and just blast
dude,
my ass off.
Again, I know you do. I think even today I found myself on TikTok for like longer than I've ever been on there almost in my life. And just the shit that comes up, like some of the shit, I'm almost like blown away by some of the absolute crap that rolls through there in terms of like your conspiracy vibe shit or just like, you know what I mean? Like it's the like things that are masquerading as legit or true and you just have no fucking.
Oh, mate, you like it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
The other one was
a doom scroll on a Sunday after a big weekend. Good Lord.
Yeah, you'll find yourself believing some kooky stuff. The other one was at Joe Biden, the State of the Union address he gave the other day. It was not him, and it was a person wearing a mask.
That's Mission Impossible stuff.
Well, correct.
Is that possible?
Well, think about like Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor as an example that's really dated. But like
that's not dated. That's a great example.
No, but like you know, you can make someone not look like himself.
The Nutty Professor was so good.
No, it was a track. But like,
where is Eddie Murphy now? Is he still?
He's still with us.
With us?
Yeah, I think he's.
He hasn't acted in 20 years. Am I wrong?
No, you are wrong. He has done some stuff, but he's not doing much stuff. But then there was a yarn he wanted to come back and do comedy, but then I don't know if he has done it or hasn't come back.
Is he just Silk Pajamas type situation?
Oh, he's feet up, but yeah, like yeah, I think yeah. He still does do some shit. Anyway. The fact that you can make him look like a big fat fuck is...
But you can still tell it was Eddie, though.
Sure. But that was like 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think that Mr. Biden was a man in a mask, considering also if you listen to him, he still was pretty stuttery and stammery.
Well, yeah. The puppet.
Can you Google what the Lazarus drug is? And also just, have you got Steelman Strawman updates?
Yep, the Lazarus drug. Steelman Strawman... So a straw man is a version of an argument that no one actually believes but is very easy to dispute. In contrast, a steel woman, others refer to as steel man, is the strongest version of an argument, sometimes called the principle of charity.
So basically you're just making it like the argument, it's like strongest steel
man. So the steel man, it is like the strongest argument that there is.
And straw man's you just, if you're straw manning something that I'm saying, you're trying to make it seem feeble and flimsy and weak.
Yeah, okay. Nice. Like sweet. It.
Yeah, we'll drop that. You keep your ears peeled, punters.
If I start steelmanning something, you'll know what's up.
You fucking know about
I'll steelman it. I'll steelman Tommy Turbo every week.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Can you chuck me some more of that techie you got over there, buddy?
We're just going to get some more ice, I think. All right, we're back from a short intermission, and you wouldn't have noticed because it's just a cut like that.
No, you have no idea.
That's the magic of editing. Joe Biden may or may not have been on a drug called...
Naloxone.
Who knows?
Listen... Truth be told, we're gonna take our
tinnies
off, and we're gonna talk about something else because we don't give a shit anymore.
It's always good to get a bit tinny, but
I like getting tinny. Not tinnier.
No,
I don't like getting tinnier. When was the last time you got tinnier?
Don't know. It's like a public pool, you know, or a boarding house sort of ailment when you're sharing showers with fucking sickos and shit, right?
Do you need to be a sicko by default to be spreading tinny?
No, you don't really. I think tinny are spread by like share house showers and shit like that.
Do you live in a share house, Cody?
I do.
Is there tinny getting about?
There's been tinny getting about in the house.
Yeah.
There you go, there is, right? Yeah.
But it's like nothing etch. Like you just put cream on, it goes away in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But there's
tinny about.
I've never put cream on tinny in my life. I've always, like in the years when you would have it, again, wouldn't have had it for fucking years, but... That you just go, well, this will go away.
Tinea. Yeah, right. I don't know. Does it? I'm sure it goes
well,
away.
Well, it has to because I've never done anything for it. Yeah. But I get psoriasis on my feet now.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. You're a mess, mate. Yeah.
Well, listen, it is what it is. Power to you. Nits, though. Nits is the other one. Evie's school, I got a fucking email today saying, oh, yeah, they've all got nits. So be on the lookout for nits.
My mum used to... I've never had nits.
Never?
No, never.
Really?
My sister used to get nits, shout out to you enough, all the time. And by all the time, I'm obviously exaggerating. But she had nits enough times for me to remember that she had nits a lot. And mum would have to, like, you wash the hair and then you've got to go through every fucking follicle of hair and get the eggs off. Like, it looks like a rugby league nightmare.
Yeah, it would be.
And Evie's hair's long as fuck.
It's long and it's fucking thick. The only thing that
you wouldn't be doing it.
No, I won't be doing it. That's the thing. Like, I can't.
That's not a you job.
Well, the reason it's not a me job as well, which is nice, is that I don't know what it's like to have long hair. I don't know the ins and outs.
It's not your world.
Of like trying to, like even like brushing it. I can put it into a ponytail.
Can you plait?
No, and I can pigtail. I could plait if I had to.
I can plait, can't braid.
Braiding's a whole different kettle of fish, my friend. I've seen that being done. That's a fucking, you need a degree. But I could plait because I know how a plait goes. But like, we're wasting everyone's time getting me to plait because I'll fuck it up. And then even when I put in a ponytail, it's like, yeah, a chick does it. And like Steph does it. It's like perfectly like back. If I do it, it's like kinked to the side or something, you know, like.
Have you seen him use the Dyson?
I've seen that before. Yeah. But see, then I don't want to suck their hair up into a vacuum cleaner. That feels,
why?
Because that feels gross.
Why is that gross?
Well, the vacuum cleaner is hardly a bastion of cleanliness.
Yeah, maybe.
Sucking up shit from the ground. Let me suck all of your hair into it just so I don't have to go through the very minor rigmarole of putting a ponytail. You just got to wrap it up. But like, nits, dude, I'm not fucking with nits.
Nits, it's...
When I have a son, I'll fuck
a human flea? Is that...
I think it's probably fair to say.
I think they'd be cousins, the flea and the nit, surely.
I wonder, actually, because the flea is obviously... Dude, do you remember when...
What is it about young children that they're so filthy, they're so foul of nature?
That's what it is. Such, I was thinking about that today.
Such dirty little fuckers. Yeah. No offence to children.
No.
Big fan of your own.
No, of course.
But dirty cunts.
No offense taken.
That they're out there getting fleas and shit.
Yeah, because they're just running around. They're in the dirt. They're in the muck. They're dirty, dude. Kids are dirty as fuck. They don't care. Like, they just don't. Cleanliness isn't a consideration for them.
But when was the last time you heard of an adult getting nits? It does not happen.
Well, the adults get nits when the kids get nits. You don't just get nits from rocking around.
But the adult nit, you never hear about the adult nit. It's not like someone comes into the office, they go, we've got nits going around. Because Sally's a dirty bitch and it's doing the rounds.
Is it because we, like, our girls get bathed every night. They don't wash their hair every night, but, like, they get bathed every day and they, you know, like, what is it about, like, what do you have to, is there something, like, do you have to be, like, dropping the ball as a parent for your kid to just get nits?
No, I think that's schoolyard stuff.
Right, but someone's bringing them in. So where are they coming from? Nits don't just find their way into the area. It's not like, oh, we got a plague of nits rolling through fucking Bondi.
Well, I don't know where they come from. I don't if you get tackled, right, onto the, you're playing a bit of, well, that's more of a guy thing. It's girls that are guilty of it. Are they falling out of trees?
Nits.
Sorry, I know I'm generalizing here, but I don't remember blokes getting nits.
Oh, dude, I got nits.
Because you got short hair. No. Oh, you got nits?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Dudes get nits. But, like, long hair's certainly where they, like... They got
more places to hide,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, they do. No, I've had nits before. That's why I was shocked you didn't.
You've had nits. Have you had nits, Will?
No, I've never had nits.
You would have had nits growing up.
Cody?
I've never had
it. I've had nits.
You've had nits, but you got long hair, you can't.
Yeah. Well, I had to have the treatment when you got it, but I never actually had it.
I don't remember having nits.
No, I reckon we were a nit household at some point.
Yeah, Tom is right, though. It just says, like, children just get it because, like, they're less aware of, like, being in contact with each other. And, like, they're just running around.
For example, the kids need to be dewormed. You got to deworm kids with those little chocolate squares.
Yeah, but you only have to deworm them once they get wormed. I've never dewormed Evie or Zoe.
When was the last time you got worms?
When I was a kid.
That's my point.
I know, but what I'm trying to understand is, where are the nits coming from? Who's patient zero with fucking nits, right? And what's allowing the nit? Where does a nit exist outside of hair?
Is
a nit just a fucking flea?
Is a nit a maggot?
No, it's not a maggot. Did I tell you I fucking because I had a, this was before we went to Vegas, this might have been like in January, daddy maybe a little bit fucking grilled late night snacking.
You've told me. I don't know if you told it on the podcast though.
Went to go have a fucking thing of hummus, grab some crackers from out of the thing, in the hummus, took another bite, took a bite, back in, looked at it, maggot city. Yep.
In the hummus?
No, it was in the crackers.
In the crackers.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up. You've told me this before. I don't think you told it on the dribbler.
It was fucked up.
Mate, a really disturbing story. Yeah. I once ate, and I don't know if I've told this on the podcast, Easter time, and young Edward Simpson's got bunnies out the arse. The kid's happy as a pig in shit. Mm. I got me red tulip bunnies. I got my Cadbury bunnies. I got my bunnies.
Yep. You're hopping.
I, because I'm not of the Tom Birmingham variety, save my bunnies and I consume them over time.
I don't save bunnies.
I know you don't say bunnies. That's why I needed to preface that I don't have the Tommies about me.
No, I'm not.
And that I was known to consume a bunny over days, not hours.
How big are these bunnies?
How big? Jeez. You know, the big bunnies, the ones that turn.
That's not that big, bro.
I know, but again.
My parents used to have to get me like those eggs the size of a fucking. If you wanted that to take days, I need a monster, a football size.
Anyway, this is back before I used to put chocolate in the fridge or freezer because I like it cold and I like it crispy. But I left out my egg, my half-eaten bunny, in my little bag of Easter eggs, Tom. Would have been in my room. Anyway, went to take a bite of, let's call him Mr. Red Tulip Bunny, and then feel something in my mouth, spit it out, slug. Huge slug, dude. It's stayed with me my whole life. Slugs.
Dude, but you're lucky. You know, do you remember that kid that ate the slug?
No, I didn't eat the fucking thing. Well, as soon as you taste a texture change, it's.
Yeah, you see you later. Get out.
Yeah.
But that fucking kid that ate a slug, he was like a Sydney boy.
He was a dare.
Yeah, he just as a dare ate a slug, and now he's like fucking. He's like.
I'm not even sure if he's still with us.
No, I think he might be. Severely, severely fucking like.
He's brain dead.
Well.
Pretty sure.
I don't think he's brain dead. I think he's still there, but it's like the level of disability off the back of it is right. Just fucking.
Don't have a heap of information, but slugs no good.
Don't eat slugs. There's some rat disease on him or some shit. Couldn't find anything on the kid that ate the slug.
What was his name?
No. You were looking up the nits.
I was looking up nits.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. What do you got?
So nits and lice are different. Nits and fleas. Fleas jump from like thing host to thing, to and host. They're mainly on animals and not humans. And also, nits came from like humans' primitive ancestors and originated in North America.
So these nits are just knocking around. They're just like, there's never a shortage of hairy, dirty humans getting around. So like, they're just.
But do they live on us exclusively, or are they, you know, they coming up from the ground like a locust? What's the go?
I think they predominantly just jump from person to person.
Crazy. So that's it.
So if you see a nit on your child, you know it's already jumped from somewhere else and it's on the move.
Yeah. Well, they're people.
It doesn't stop moving.
No, their people are on the move.
Nits, dude. Fuck. Anyway, Steph's got a lot of fun ahead of her.
Evie doesn't necessarily have nits, but someone at the school does. So
well, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, that.
Given what we know about the nit.
Yeah, correct.
It's been going around since an early ancestor of ours in North America, so like a Homo erectus type situation. The nit's been with us. Our entire existence, you could argue.
Yeah, just
so
bouncing.
It's bouncing.
What's the average life? Like, how long does a nit live for? An individual nit.
And is a nit, is it like knitting?
Can we get a photo of a nit?
Is it K-N-I-T, a nit?
No, it's N-I-T.
Okay. And get a photo, like one of those super high res like photos.
So why'd they drop the K?
Well, maybe they didn't drop the K.
I think that's reserved for
Knitting.
Like just crocheting,
a spelling, right?
Makes you think about the K, though, doesn't it?
Well, whether it's necessary.
Do you like K as a letter?
I don't mind it. I prefer the capital K as a letter.
You don't like the curly K?
Well, I don't. I never do a curly K. I just do a big and a small version of the same K.
You don't curl that bitch?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. No. Then it's just like an R with an antenna.
You're not curling your K's?
No, I'm not, dude.
Interesting.
State of the show here that we are talking about curling K's. TV, we got a photo of a nit.
Yeah, nits are up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Look at these bastards.
Wow.
Is that a legitimate photo? Lice is spelled
so hang on. So hang on. Is head lice and nits, are they the same thing or are they different?
Nah. I think they're the same.
Is it true as well that nits like clean hair? Remember that rumor was doing the rounds when you were at school?
Yep.
Okay,
head lice. Lice are tiny insects that live in hair. Nits are empty egg cases attached to hair that head lice hatch from. Okay.
So you've got head lice and nits are just empty egg casing. There you fucking go.
Empty egg casings.
Yeah.
So they're already like that.
So the lice is hatched out of it. That's disgusting.
That's gross.
That is absolutely foul.
And do they bite you and shit? Like, is that sort of the go? Look at those little fuckers.
Yeah, that's rank. I don't know if that's real or not, though.
Yeah, it looks real to me, mate.
That looks real.
There you go. That's head lice, punters and dribblers.
Yeah.
Soak it up, drink it in.
Soak it up, drink it in. Lifespan of nits, actually. I just want to know. Yep. You had that on your other tab there.
30 days.
30 days.
Not that long.
Yeah, but for the something that small.
Oh, well, fuck, we're pushing 100 years, mate. Get a real fucking timeline.
Get a real job, cunt.
You know what I mean? Get a real mortality rate, you weak dog. Fucking weak as piss. 30 days. That's pathetic.
Yeah, that is pathetic.
That's an average. That's weak as piss.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's appalling.
No, that is, it's not great.
We're out here pushing, like some of our species are doing 120s, 130s.
Well, not 130.
124, I think, is the record, Tommy. That you find the record's 124-ish.
I feel like there was one
aprox.
There was one where someone was trying to say they were like 130, 140.
Mate, I tell you what,
problem is that it goes back to when before like burst.
The thing about living, about knocking out a serious innings.
Ton.
Well, it's a ton with change, yeah. Tom.
No, it's a ton of consequence.
Ton of consequence. Yeah. Is that, you know, the average in Australia, just work with me here and don't nitpick me, pardon the previous topic pun. Let's say it's 80 for a human, a male in Australia. If you're getting to 100, a lot of your mates have come and gone. What sort of nick are you in?
You're in awful nick.
Are you living at home? Are you in a home? Are you all there upstairs? Can you still have a wank? Like, where are you at?
Do you want a wank?
Do you? I don't know.
But then
you hear about these
Bernie Ecclestons of the world.
Not Bernie. You hear about these retirement homes where everyone's just fucking the house down, Tom. So I don't know what to believe anymore.
Are they fucking the house down?
Apparently they're going room to room, these blokes and these Sheilas.
Are they still able to get loads off at that age?
I'm telling you what I heard. There's Sheilas and blokes out there going room to room having the time of their
lives.
Could
you imagine working in an old folks home and walking in on two fucking ghosts getting after it?
Like, I'm of the opinion, where I've been told that people in retirement homes, et cetera, nursing homes, are in rabbit territory.
I wonder whether they have the sort of the fluidity of movement to do like positional switches, or if it's just a let's get down, let's get dirty, very lazy.
Let's get down, let's get down to business.
Yeah.
Or is it like riding a bike? For example, Tom, if you were out there plowing a field for 50 years, for example, and you became efficient at it, and you knew what worked and you knew what didn't and you knew what would guarantee high yields.
Right. Yep.
You're not going to forget that even if you're a bit old.
Well, no, it's not necessarily about forgetting how to get the job done, but potentially no longer being able to drag the plow, as it were. What would be funny is...
But there is assistance.
But you know how they... no, I don't even think it's about getting hard. I'm more like, can you pull off the pole driver at 80? Can you...
Well, no.
Can you snap the legs behind the head?
You don't move as well as you used to.
No, you don't. That's what I'm saying.
No, you don't want to throw a hip out.
But then...
Unless you got a fake one, then you're probably good to go.
You're probably good to go, right? You probably spin that thing 360. I'm just trying to work out like whether... You know when...
Do you reckon they're hitting it from behind?
I feel like that would almost be the easiest way to do it. Or lazy doggy. You get into a fucking... You get
lazy doggy's not the same.
As what? Hitting it from behind?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, it's lazy.
I mean, I'm talking... Yeah, it's lazy.
It's lazy. I'm saying, no, you stand up.
Do you reckon the old boy's still like a spank? I mean, still reckon there's spanking going on?
Well, it's not about whether the old boy likes it, because I think the old boy will always like a spank. I don't think that you lose that.
Well, I'm just saying, do you think
that... I think that the old girl might be over it.
Well, do you think even at 90, you know, in your final years and you know, Beth from next door looking for a
You might fucking leave a handprint on Beth that fucking sits there for a week.
But does Betty like a spank still?
I think that you. I don't know. I'd actually like to ask. I'd like. It'd be nice to sit down with a couple of oldies and ask them about fucking. And I'm serious.
Because I think growing up. Not that I ever stopped to excavate my thoughts properly, but I think that there was an underlying assumption running through me generally that old people stop fucking.
Yeah.
I've revised that opinion.
Well, you've had to. You've had to.
Well, weight of runs.
But also, you're not married to
not
your beliefs,
weight of runs,
right?
As in weight of evidence.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, can you, and I don't know what you're going to have to Google here, Cody. Your search history is going to be a little bit sullied here, but, like, do old guys, like, how do old men still wank?
And do they get nuts off? Or do your balls stop working?
No, they get nuts off, dude.
How do you know?
Because that Formula One guy was 90 and he had a child.
Bernie Eccleston. Is he still with us?
I think so. Fucking Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, they both just fathered children who I believe their wives just left them.
So you basically, you don't you can, stop
no, the
producing
factory keeps going.
Nut.
Theo Vaughn had a really great thing where his father was so old, he said he was the last sperm in his dad's balls and he had to, like, close all the windows before he left. Sweep up everything.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
So yeah. I'll come back to the old guys, but in terms of just, like, elderly people having sex, based on a study in the US of people aged 75 to 85, 54% reported having sex two or three times per month, and 23% reported having sex one or more times per week. So, yes.
So, a quarter of fucking every week and 50% of fucking two to three times a
and
month.
And how old are these dirty old fuckers?
75 to 85. These are 60 and over.
60 and over.
But, yeah, 60
to 70,
didn't you
I think
say 75
yeah,
to 85?
Yeah, sorry. This, yeah, this report in particular was 75 to 85. So, this was just like a case study.
Listen.
That's you see what I'm saying?
But the
they're
funny,
out there.
I know the funny thing is though, like when
they're
I
they're fucking more than any of us.
Yeah, oh, fuck. But like when I think about my grandparents when I was young, my grandparents were old people. Like they dressed old, they yep. sat in armchairs in their house was old as
well,
fuck.
Well, there's nothing wrong with sitting in an armchair.
No, no, no. I'm not here to impugn the fine.
Doesn't mean you don't like getting on the job.
Listen to me. What I'm saying is the idea of Nano and Bruce.
Great place to get bloody your box seat with your,
with your while legs you're watching up. Midsummer Murders.
Yeah, in the Lazy Boy with the fucking legs up. Pete's over the top. Midsummer yeah. Murders on. Yeah. What are we talking about?
No, you're
about?
Right. Poirot's fucking yeah, on while you're getting your yeah. box seat.
Poirot. Fuck
getting
yeah.
sucked off to yeah. Poirot.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no, for sure. But what I'm saying is the idea, and I'm... The idea of my grandparents, they were...
Well, it's unimaginable.
No, but they were old people. They dressed like old people. Whereas my parents are approaching their age that, like... So my granddad passed away when he was 73.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
My parents are approaching... Is my dad... Is dad 70 this year or last year? Dad's 70, mum's fucking not that far... Like, they don't dress, look... Act.
Yeah, but your dad's not.
Dad's not a...
He's not a great example.
Sure. Dad's not.
You know what
you're
I
right,
mean?
Dad's not. But like, no, you're right. Dad's not. I have a little bit of a warped perception of maybe what an adult grandfather
yeah, there's not
age,
many. There's man. Not many blokes that age like your old man.
No, but even just like the general doddery nature of them. You know what I mean?
I think there's less doddering.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
70's not as old as 70 was. Like, it might still be, but not in the way that, like, 70-year-olds behave.
I completely agree. But what I'm trying to say is, just to come back to my original point, is that I've been led to believe, based on nothing more than whispers and hearsay, that people in nursing homes and retirement homes, which implies to me, indicates to me that they need assistance from time to time.
To live.
Like yeah. you know, assisted showering yeah, and maybe yeah, the yeah. bumhole wiped. I was under the impression that those people also liked slipping into each other's rooms for a bit of a
and
ronny.
And then slipping into each other.
But that's what I was of the opinion was happening. And it's been substantiated by Cody's case study in the US where 25% of 75 to 85-year-olds were fucking once a week.
Which, again, what's the whole like boner meds for? Like, I know that there's, like, people, like, they're just, like, you could be any age and have an issue with boners. Shout out to Pilot. But, like, what's the... how are you getting your dick hard at 70? Or is it just like, it's just kind of, that can still happen?
I think it can still happen.
Plumbing, well, like, and obviously it does, but like for that many people to just be out there or they know, Tom,
that there's good fishing going on, and they bring the right bait.
Well, they go to the tackle store.
They go to the tackle store because they know the fish are biting.
Yeah, right.
And they want to get a fucking, they want to reel a couple in. So they go to the tackle.
It's dusk in the nursing home. Tide's coming in.
Fucking oath. So they nip down the tackle store and they go, give us some of your best worm, i.e.
Blue pill.
And they go out there and they get a couple biting.
Couple of flatties.
Fucking oath.
Yeah, so apparently, like, generally, like, your libido and stuff just starts to decline. It peaks in your 20s and then just naturally declines over your life. But, like...
Yeah, isn't women's, like, 30?
Women's is about 30-odd, I think.
Yeah, but in elderly people, like, a lot of their libido and their sexual drive is related to how healthy they are, both mentally and physically. So if people are, like, quite physically healthy, they're naturally going to have the energy a bit more to sort of...
Like that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. I felt there was a period, I reckon, like in your 20s, it's funny, only at being outside of your 20s and like especially your early 20s, when you're there, you just think like the amount you fuck. And I don't mean even in the sense of like, picking up heaps. I just mean like generally your appetite for it. You just think it's normal. And then you get out of it, you're like, Jesus Christ. Like,
well, the appetite was twice daily, you know what I mean?
The appetite was like, I'm ready. It does not exist anymore. You know what I mean? The tour days, you know. That's just a thing of the absolute.
Two a day. Oh.
That's.
Yeah,
that's,
but you'd lay in bed all day with fuck all to do as
exactly,
well. You know
what
I mean? There's nothing else going on.
That's more.
You're
what
almost
it is.
Bored.
Yeah.
You're like, I may as well have a root.
Yeah, I may as well pass the time. Like, this thing, I can sort of, I guess I can fold it in. But
like, folding stuff.
No, you can fold. But then I remember when I got like to my late 20s feeling like I can't be fucked. But then I've actually almost feel like I've had a comeback.
Good for you, buddy.
Well, that's not what I was asking for. It was more, I don't want you to like pat me on the back for it.
What a mate can't pat a mate on the back?
For what? Being
for bringing back the folding stuff?
A mate can't pat a mate on the back for fucking bringing back an old classic?
Shout out to the folding stuff. Tried and tested.
Sounds like a Domino's order.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, just yeah.
Get your Domino's folding stuff with the code folding stuff.
I miss those Domino's commercials, all those Domino's, and this isn't an ad, punters and dribblers. I'm reflecting, I'm getting nostalgic if you don't mind. Where every week Domino's would come out with something more outrageous. It started with cheese in the crust.
Well, I think
then
was that
they started putting hot dogs and
that?
Shit in there, dude.
The hot dogs in the crust is a.
You remember when we all as a people moved away from deep pan, which was the thickest of all pizzas?
Yeah, cheesy crust, deep pan.
And
shit.
they brought in light and crispy or
thin
light,
and crispy.
Thin and crispy. That was a game changer, but you could argue too thin and too crispy.
Yeah, but now we've settled classic crust.
But that came in afterwards, to my memory.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it might have.
Now we are just a classic. Like, if you were to order now a deep pan, you're
a sick fuck.
Bit of a sicko.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're a sick fuck. Do you remember when we were at school in the boarding house?
The special?
Yeah, the $10.
$10 for a 1.25 litre Coke
and a large pizza. And so you'd...
But you'd have to get two, so it's $20.
You needed to find a mate. Yeah.
You needed to find a pal.
The scrounging for...
Was that every weekend? Was that every day?
Dude, every day.
Any day you wanted. Oh, is it where?
Yeah. We used to pound that in the
1.25 litre Coke.
Or lemonade. Sprite. I'm a Sprite.
And a fucking large pizza to yourself is God's work for $10.
And you would just, you'd go around and you'd scrounge your coins.
You could get a 1.25 litre Coke, a large pizza, and a pack of fucking Peter Stuyvesant Blues for $20 with a 20.
Yeah. Those
you
were,
could.
You could.
A soft pack.
A softie.
You remember the softies?
Dude, the soft packs were so good. God damn it.
With all the branding on the front. It's making us sound old as shit.
It is making us sound old as shit. But soft packs, branded cigarettes, $10 fucking pizza with a 1.25 litre fucking Coke or a Sprite. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
All while you were in high school.
Thanks for coming.
All while you were a 16-year-old boarder.
I had $50 a week, so I had to spend it wisely. And I just spilled a drink all down my front.
That's how you spent it.
That's how I spent it.
But it was also like there was someone every single night knocking about, looking for change.
Well, yeah, didn't necessarily have a tenner laying around. No. You had to go digging.
You had to go digging. You might have like $4. You had to go, your golf.
You never had 10, Tom.
No, you had to go and.
You didn't have crisp tens ironed sitting in your fucking locker.
But you might not have even had 10 in coins. Like you have to go and, you'd have to go and find.
Beg, borrow and steal.
Yeah, well, cap raise.
Cap raise, yeah. Yeah. Go out and look for some seed investment.
Thought it was.
Some angel investment.
Might give you a slice.
Yeah, well.
Might. Depends if you're a year older than me or you're younger than me.
Yeah, it depends who you are. If I'm going to get bashed, you can have
some.
You
can have a slice. If you're younger than me...
Fuck off.
It's probably just a generous donation.
Correct.
Punters and dribblers, quickly before we go on, just want to let you know that we have... we've got a bit of a rosé offering. It's a very limited one.
Party pack.
It's a party pack. There's some a couple of magnums left over, those big, beautiful magnums. And obviously, we've still got some rosé kicking, so we've put together a party pack. That is going to get you 4 6-packs of Big Day Rosé, and then you're going to get a free magnum, and you're going to get $50 off your entire order and free shipping. So go to hellosport.shop.
Party pack.
Party pack. 4 6-packs of rosé. You're going to get one magnum for free, $50 off your total order. Free shipping, smart decision sort of stuff. Now, whether you're a big rosé guy or girl and you want to go in on that yourself, or whether you got a party coming up, or whether you got you and a couple of mates who fucking fiend rosé and you want to all chip in together, there are options here.
There are beautiful, glorious, incredible options. We found some magnums under the stairs, so to speak, and our offer to you is bundling this bitch up, the party pack. If you got a rip, if you got a tear coming up, this is for you. Get into it. Hellosport.shop. Punters and dribblers, I was in the car the other day and I was listening to the radio and they were talking about how one of the candidates, I believe from the Liberal Party, who's either going for election or he's going for re-election in Tasmania, in the state government, has promised that if he wins, he promises to build the world's biggest chocolate fountain in Tasmania. And it just made me think, what a great state it must be to live in, whereby you are so carefree and backwards that the thing that moves the needle politically is whether you will or will not build a chocolate fountain.
Is this going to be a fountain that, like, we, and like I'm speaking as a Tasmanian here who's not a Tasmanian, but like, if we the Tasmanians, am I going to be able to drink from this thing? Can I walk up there with like a cup, or is this going to be like a monument? Is this
You're asking if it's a community play. Yeah. Like, fill up your bottle.
Yeah,
sort
like
of stuff.
Come fill up your cup with some chocky fondue. Is this a fondue thing? Because I wouldn't trust people around a chocolate fountain.
I think it might be somehow tied into the Cadbury factory that's down there. So you know the chocolate's good.
You know it's going to be ridgy-dish.
But I would be of the opinion that if the taxpayer, the state taxpayer, paying for such a fountain, Tom, I would like it to be a bubbler-type setup where I can either go and I can... I wouldn't give you wouldn't give your dog any because the chocolate...
Well, chocolate is good for dogs.
But I wouldn't be against the idea of... You know, bending over, hitting the bubbler, and a stream of Cadbury chocolate coming out. Maybe fill up a couple of growlers, Tom.
Yeah. A couple of fucking growlers of chocolate. Of just like liquid chocolate.
Well, the growler is what the lefty uses to fill it up with apricot beer. Is that not?
Well,
correct?
I would argue, and I don't want to look over and ask yet, but I would bet some significant money that our new Dior-looking Dior has a couple of growls at home where he goes to like a local brewery.
It looks like a growler, people.
I'm actually not. I live
but you know
close
what
to
a growler
you know
is.
People
I've worked
growl.
In, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. I've worked
you
in a apartment.
Do you live with anyone with a growler?
No.
Bullshit.
No. we're all too lazy for that and poor. We just buy tinnies.
I thought the growler was almost like a more... fiscally responsible approach.
How would it be though? Because boutique was not. What's
well, as in like you don't have to worry about. You just go and fill up your own thing up.
But the word's not boutique. It's
craft
beer is expensive.
Yeah, you're right. It is. I guess maybe it was more like you're saving on packaging because you're bringing your own, like a keep cup. You know, I don't know. Like you don't get a discount for a keep cup though, do you?
No, you don't.
Wonder if you should probably, shouldn't you?
Yeah, but the you know, they cost fucking a cent getting those.
What about cans? What do cans cost?
They would fuck all. Well, fuck Willie all might know actually.
No idea how much can cost.
Good, okay, great. Now, have we got this article up? I can't see it.
Oh God, this fucking HDMI.
Well, just play your role, mate.
Well, listen, don't attack me.
So, pure imagination. Tasmania Premier vows to build world's largest chocolate fountain if re-elected. So okay, so it's re-election. Liberal Jeremy Rockliffe commits $12 million.
Oh my God.
And says chocolate experience at Claremont would be the greatest thing to happen to tourism since Mona. Like, that's what's happening down in Tassie. Mona, the Museum of Old and New Art, built by a guy who is not Rain Man, but has Rain Man qualities.
And not Voldemort Rain Man.
No, as in, is it Philip Seymour Hoffman? Is that his name?
No, Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man type qualities, card counting type.
You've absolutely nailed that. Can I just read the start of this article here?
Yes, you can.
Dubai is home to the world's tallest skyscraper, Burj Khalifa. Can't read. Actually, that's a hard word in my defense.
Burj Khalifa.
Nepal boasts Mount Everest. Soon, if Jeremy Rockliffe gets his way, Tasmania could be home to the world's largest chocolate fountain. That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. $12 million for a chocolate fountain. Now, I get it. I'm a chocolate guy. I'm like on team chocolate. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you're a chocolate guy.
If it came to like, you know, if there was like a factional sort of like gang war, I'm on team chocolate. I'm punching on for chocolate.
So, yeah, sweet and savory. Your team's sweet.
But
and
this
specifically
is
team chocolate.
This is the dumbest. $12 million?
The Tasmania Premier on Sunday appeared to take inspiration from Willy Wonka by pitching himself to voters as the dreamer of dreams.
Oh my God, dude.
During a visit to the Cadbury Chocolate Factory, the largest in the Southern Hemisphere near Hobart. So the largest chocolate factory in the Southern Hemisphere is near Hobart, the Cadbury Chocolate Factory. But he wants to build the world's largest chocolate fountain. Think it.
They've already got the largest chocolate factory.
Listen to this. Channeling his inner Wonka, Rockliffe said if re-elected, his Liberal government would deliver the greatest thing to happen to tourism since Mona. What could rival the Museum of Old and New Art? Question mark. The world's largest chocolate fountain, which would, quote, rewrite the must-see list for every visitor that comes to Tasmania, the Premier enthused. If you can't drink from this fucking thing, man, it's all for nothing.
It's for nothing. And the chocolate experience, I can't put my finger on what's uncomfortable about the chocolate experience. There's just something about it that doesn't sit right with me. It sounds kind of gross.
The new chocolate experience would include a chocolate fountain. Doesn't say whether or not that will have access to a bubbler type system, a premium chocolate studio, a chocolate lab with make your own chocolate bar, a chocolate emporium, a cafe, a playground, and so much more, the Premier said. $12 million.
Okay, but like
12, how big's this fucking
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, and it like, but like what's so much more than like than a chocolate fountain, premium chocolate studio, a chocolate lab, assuming not the dog, make your own chocolate bar and a chocolate emporium, cafe, playground. Like what's so much more?
Can you look up the average launch cost of like a Falcon rocket from SpaceX? Do you know what I mean? Like where's this chocolate, where's this?
Could this,
where's
could,
the chocolate fountain in with rockets?
With like getting us to sort of Mars, terraforming Mars.
Falcon 9, cost per launch, $67 million. So you can get...
That's... So what is it, five?
About five chocolate fountains, just to get to space.
It's actually a very great way of trying to understand the expenditure here, and it's a great contextualizer. So like... Whilst I can see there is some sort of diabetic appeal to the chocolate fountain, the fact that only five of them will get you to fucking space.
Not just get you to space, but like the Falcon 9's taking people to the fucking space station.
Yeah, no, like that's it. You're it's space tourism we're talking about. Like, And yeah, well, yeah, or you could go to Tasmania and hop into a chocolate lab and then hop on the playground
and make your own chocolate.
Make your own
bar.
Chocolate.
Yeah, and what's that going to cost you?
200 million chocolate bars are produced right here at Cadbury's Claremont, Claremont, employing some 450 Tasmanians. We want to build on that. Add value, Rockcliffe said.
You can imagine some glass windows looking out over the beautiful waters, and you would experience as you come through here the new building. The world's largest chocolate fountain, for example. A chocolate lab. What, he's just repeating himself.
I know.
What's going on here? An opportunity where Tasmanians can make their own Tasmanian chocolate with Tasmanian ingredients. This is unbelievable.
This guy, he looks like he's covered himself in chocolate for the photo.
Jesus Christ. He looks like a Milky Top.
He does.
You know the chocolate?
Yeah, the top deck. The
top deck. He looks like a top deck. Wow. Again. Public record. I'm a big fan of Tasmania. I got married down there. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. But this is unbelievable. Now if this is what he's leading with going into an election, this is his leading.
Well, he's hanging his hat on it. He's hanging his hat on it.
He's like on the bill. This is essentially the Tasmanian people are asked to vote on one thing and one thing only. Are you pro chocolate fan or are you against it?
Hold on a second. Adding to the sense of wonder, he said, Rockcliffe, he said a returned Rockcliffe government would kick in 12 million to make the chocolate experience a reality, including 2 million to help with design and planning, another 2 million for early site work, and then 8 million for unspecified activities and grade milestones. Now, is that saying that is how the 12 breaks down, or is that on top of?
I think that's how he's saying the 12 breaks down. I'm interested to know why you need $2 million to get foundations in place for a chocolate fountain of that size. If you're spending $2 million on foundations, it's got to be fucking massive.
They've spent 15 years of research. Yeah.
Listen to this, positive. This article just gets better and
According
better.
According to Current, the project, the result of 15 years of research and collaboration in conjunction with Cadbury, would cost $100 million and bring, in quotes, bring a world of chocolate delights, wonder, and excitement to the Apple Isle. So is it 12 million or 100 million?
No, they're kicking in 12. It's costing 100.
Jesus, so we could get to fucking
twice.
Space. Twice.
The Guinness World Record says the world's tallest chocolate fountain is owned by Austrian chocolatiers. I can't be bothered.
Confisier
Wenschitz. Oh,
Wenschitz. Wenhist.
No, it's a V if it's a W, isn't it?
I don't fucking know, dude.
Wenhist. It opened in 2019. The chocolate waterfall stands at 12.27 metres. That's actually pretty fucking big.
That is big. I was going to shit on it, but that's actually big.
With 1,000 kilometres... Oh, sorry.
Kilograms.
1,000 kilograms of liquid chocolate cascading down its panels over what time frame?
Is that per second? I'd say at any one point.
Okay.
That's a lot, though.
It's 1,000 kilos.
That's a ton.
There's a lot you can do with this, though. You could line up a panel of fucking fatties, right? And you're just scooping out chocolate and see how many scoops you can get through.
Is that the attraction?
Watching like fatties consume it. It would be,
saying there's things you could do. You could put on a fatties contest.
You could do a belly flop contest into chocolate.
Yeah. No, then you're sullying the
Well, recycles.
Yeah, but like, does it? Or is it sort of recycling? So you're
okay. Let's just get fair income for 1 second. If someone says to you, the premier, whatever his name is in Tasmania, come down and see the chocolate fountain, I don't give a shit. If you tell me there's big fatties down there doing belly flop comps into it, doing like how many ladles can you eat a second, I'm probably down there.
Well, I'm certainly going to check it out. Like you could get KO involved. That thing, that's competitive.
You'd live stream that.
No, you'd live stream that.
Tasmania's best go toe-to-toe.
Here we go. It's unclear whether the public would be able to taste Tasmania's proposed chocolate fountain or what sort of food safety regulations the pros would have to meet. Well, here's the answer, Mr. Rockcliffe and Tasmanian chocolate industry. If I can't taste it...
Swim in it?
If I can't get down there with a fucking growler that I've borrowed off fucking Cody and fill it up with chocolate, then this thing's a waste. Send me to space.
Waste of time.
Yeah. Send me to space.
Waste of time.
$100 million is going to cost, and you're going to kick in 12.
And I can't even swim in it.
I can't even fucking swim in it. I can't even see Fatty's belly flop into this shit. I'd like to see Fatty's doing backstroke in chocolate.
Yeah. The chocolate cup.
Whereas the Labor Party, boo. They've announced a $50 million no interest loans program that would be eligible for operators to visit in the visitor's economy to apply.
Nah. We need cold hard cash
for
the factory.
We need chocolate, dude. Boo. Chocolate fountain.
So this is the counter, I believe, by the Labor leader. That $12 million is a huge amount of money when you think about the ways you could be spent in areas that are absolutely screaming out for government support and are actually government responsibilities, Webb said. It's just virtue signaling, is it?
It's not virtue signaling.
Is it?
It's not virtue signaling. I don't think that's what it is. It's not. It's chocolate. It's fatty signaling.
Fatty signaling.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Tasmania will head to the polls a year before an election was due after Australia's last remaining Liberal Premier Rockcliffe called an early election for 23rd of March. Keep your fucking eyes peeled, punters and dribblers. 10 days away.
Yeah,
we're a state. Goes to the polls to decide yay or nay to the world's largest chocolate fountain.
Which obviously now we're going to have to cover.
If they build it, we're down there.
For the opening.
Oh, yes, cunt.
Yeah.
We're down there.
Tom, Eddie, Bunnings, and the Dribblers. I was just having a brekkie with the Hoping Kisses at the famous Coogee Beach. And I was actually sitting next to the famous Anthony Seibold. Now, he was sitting with a gentleman I did not know, but they were talking coaching tactics. Now, because I am an avid Rooster supporter, other chooks, I just wanted to let you know that I've recorded their whole conversation and I'm sending it to Trent Robertson as we speak. I'll see you boys on Sunday. Good luck. You'll meet a fuckhead. Shooks forever. Manly never. Be here soon.
Is that a threat?
Yeah, that sounded like a threat. That sounded like a threat. What I'd say to this fucking idiot is that Seibold is a cerebral coach. Cerebral, they call him. And he probably knew.
Clever.
He probably knew that you were recording him and he was probably fucking hoodwinking you. Well, false flags.
Listen, the dribbler not as wily, not as
cerebral.
Subtle.
No.
As they like to think.
Yeah.
And I just get the heavy inclination to think that the dribbler here has probably just got his phone out next to Seibold's face and Seibold doesn't notice. I think he did, mate.
Of course he did. And what? Oh, hey, I'm just going to sit here and just talk about our entire game plan at a cafe while there's big dumb dribblers hanging around.
Also, do you think I believe that you know Trent Robertson and you have access to him?
Yeah. Also, do you think that we give a fuck? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you know what Manly do? Let's just say that you, sir, of dumb dribbler fame, have successfully recorded Seibold trade secrets, sent him to Trent Robertson, if he opens your email, and then the Roosters rework their entire fucking game plan around a voice recording they got from a guy whose name has escaped me.
Did he give us that name?
He might not have. I don't know. But you don't think Manly have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D and a plan E?
Yeah, but our plan A beats you.
Of course,
give the ball to
does.
Tommy, kick you to death through DCE, short balls off the hip from fucking Luke Brooks, our boy Burbo, yeah. Olakau'atu steamrolls close to the
hard
line.
Running,
and
hard
the boys
running,
chuck Nutt up
tackling.
Front, and then the dog Nathan Brown comes on and woof, tears you apart. That's it. That's the game plan.
And Nathan hates you because you guys let him go. You treated him poorly because that's all the Roosters do. Roosters' track record of treating players like absolute dog shit precedes them.
Put it this way, club legend. Premiership winning captain, an ornament to the game, Boyd Cordner, forced to catch economy to the US. You tell me you fucking look after your own, do you? Yeah. Disgraceful.
Mitchell Pearce, premiership winning halfback, bled for the club. And then what happens? Oh, we're going to buy Cooper Cronk and just fucking see you, Mitch.
Beat it.
See ya.
Beat it.
See ya, Mitch.
Yeah.
You guys are a fucking
disgrace. That Roosters family bullshit you roll out is a myth and nothing more than that.
Roosters are a fucking disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Do like Teddy. Teddy was a nice guy. I met Teddy. Teddy's a nice guy.
Like all your players.
No,
like
no, the players really cool. The club, though, disgrace.
Cheese, great friend of ours.
Great guy. Connor Watson, great guy.
Great guy. Crichton, great guy. Love your players. Just talking about Roosters.
Absolute disgrace of a club.
Correct.
And you too, sir. You're a fucking disgrace. Fuck you.
Well put.
G'day, boys. It's a Pudoff Dribbler here. This is on the back of the pressure washer chat that Eddie was chatting about in the latest episode. Made me think back to a couple of years ago. I was working and living abroad, living in England, and got a job as a groundskeeper at this older bird's place. And long story short, she asked me to fucking go pressure wash around the front of her house, all the fucking tiles and shit like that. And she had a bit of coin, so she had a fucking mean pressure washer. One of those, like, big diesel cunts that fucking, like, you could, if you stood there long enough, you'd blow a hole in a timber fence sort of stuff. And she's got me to do all the tiles out the front of her house. So she went out today, I ripped it and did that. And then I had a bit of time left over. I got really stuck into my pressure washing work and loving it. So I thought, oh, I'll go and fucking blast those gargoyles near the side of her door. So I started pressure washing all the moss and shit off those. And the fucking pressure washers at high power, like they're fucking blowing chips and shit off of the gargoyles, losing spikes and chips of their ears and shit like that. I thought, oh, fuck. But kept at it, got them squeaky clean, got all the moss off, and was pretty stoked. Anyway, the next morning I got fired and wasn't really sure why. I was like, fucking... Anyway, long story short, apparently those gargoyles had been in her family for three generations or whatever, and had taken something like 60 years to grow this particular type of slow-growing moss on these gargoyles, and it was only the last year or two that that actually started to get to where she wanted them and where her mum had wanted them. So I've been this like family heirloom, and trigger happy me with a fucking pressure washer just ruined the cunt 6 years worth of work. So I thought it was pretty funny. I thought you boys have a go, guys. Cheers.
Listen, I would say...
You needed more information from that family.
1,000%. 1,000%. If you are growing a 60-year-old moss on a couple of gargoyles out the front...
That are three generations old.
And I've got a young whippersnapper around to do a bit of high-pressure cleaning of tiles, I'm bagging those things.
Or I'm going, hey...
I'm bagging
do
them.
Do not go near the fucking gargoyles. We've just got this... Also... I don't know, again, like not a big moss grower, an intentional moss grower. Does moss take 60 years to grow? I don't know.
How do you know you're not a moss grower?
I don't, but it
you're
seems...
not a moss grower.
Yeah, but it seems like something where moss doesn't seem like something that's hard to grow. So I'm just already calling bullshit on the family. I'm in defense of this gentleman.
Right.
They didn't give you any notice. Like, how much do you care about the moss or the gargoyles and you don't even bring it up to me?
But you could think about it differently. Yeah, I mean, the fact that it hasn't been brought up is absolutely disgraceful. In terms of, I don't think it takes moss 60 years to grow. I think they've been trying to grow it for 60 years, and it's just never taken. And then finally they've found the secret recipe to get this moss to grow on these bitches, and he's blasted it off.
And fucked up the gargoyles a bit.
Well, he was taking chips, which he didn't seem too concerned
about. No, he didn't even seem to think that that was a big deal. I'm like, well, yeah, if you...
Ears, spikes, he's like, who cares? They were clean.
Listen, there was some frivolous behaviour from this gentleman, but also he wasn't given the tools for success.
But also, given that he was out there chipping these things and shit, was he listening?
That's a good point. Listen, I don't know how to feel about this. I think everyone's at fault.
If he's got a diesel powered high pressure hose, he's blasting.
No, that's true. Diesel powered. That's like
the one on the back of the truck. Like,
yeah, you know, that thing fuck you up.
That'd take your toe off.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Blast all through your foot sort of stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
G'day. Tom, Eddie, the punter, and the dribbler. Tinfoil Dribbler here, and something pretty big's just come across my desk I think you boys should take a look at. So strap in and get your tinfoil hats out. This is going to be one hell of a ride. All right, so remember a few years ago when the Tigers would always finish ninth? They were bloody good times, absolute time of my life personally. But last time they finished ninth was 2019, and we all know what happened in 2020. The world went to absolute shit. COVID, lockdowns, World War III almost kicked off multiple times, Panthers started their dynasty, Turbo's injury curse, and the Manly Pride jersey saga, which are some of the shit things that happened after 2020. Is it a coincidence that this all started after the Tigers free fell from their rightful position at ninth? I don't think so. But let's bring it back to the present day. How about now? After round one, Tigers are ninth place. Rugby league is dominating the AFL. Manly are once again the greatest team in the comp. Benji's back at the Tigers. League went to frickin' Vegas. I mean, come on. The omens are there. The writing's on the wall. Tigers have to be ninth for all to be right in the world. Anyway, what do you boys think? Manly forever, Tigers anywhere but ninth never.
Listen, the guy's clearly done his research. That's a well-researched dribbler right there.
It's an incredibly well-researched dribbler. That's like a bit of librarian about the kid.
Annotated sort of bibliography sort of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got a bibliography of notes. Quite, you know. No, he's referenced out the arse. Yes,
that thing's very well referenced.
You put that through, pass it in, and it's 100%
Turn it in, but yeah, no, that thing goes straight through, turn it in with flying colours. I don't really care about the Tigers at all. Like, I mean, if they just can't be above nine.
Well, I think what he's saying is the world's right and calm and balanced and measured when the Tigers are coming ninth. I agree with that. I would also say this, though, young librarian. I like the Tigers coming last.
Same. Sorry, Tigers.
You know, I'm prepared to go fuck balance, fuck order.
Give me some chaos.
Give me some chaos. Give me COVID if it means that the Tigers are coming last. You know what I mean? Like, that might sound a bit sinister, a bit evil to get everyone to lock down again. Maybe I'm not going that far. But what I am saying is I'm prepared to wear a little bit of chaos.
Like a global pandemic, if it means that the Tigers are coming last.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm not against a GP if it means the WT are getting fucking butt fucked by a spoon.
Because there's something about the Tigers being god awful that
unites us all.
Yeah, I feel like we can all get behind that, other than Tigers.
Yeah, but even so, I think it's made us closer with Cody.
I'd say that. I'd say we've been able to bond over the fact your team sucks.
Sure.
You know, like, it's been nice, I think. Don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
I think it's been nice.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
Yeah. It's been an easier in, you know, for you. Oh, I'm Cody. I go for the Tigers. Yeah. My team sucks.
Yeah. I'm a bottom.
What would be the worst? What would have been the worst team for me to go for?
Roosters.
Roosters, yeah, but Roosters are almost like so obvious.
Well, I'm talking about me personally and my annoyance.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just trying to think about like...
Like, if I was coming in here getting lippy about a team, Para maybe?
Para probably.
Para's not great.
Para would have been annoying.
Para,
really annoying.
Dragons aren't that good, but if they were good... Like, any team's bad if they're good. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going for a team that's good...
Para probably.
Like, Dave... It was pretty fucking annoying with Dave in the Storm.
Yeah, but they've always been good.
Yeah.
Like, Para, if you were with us when Para made the final, that would have been annoying.
That would have been hard to take.
Thank you, librarian. Annotated?
Annotated bibliography guy.
One more. The last hurrah.
Hey, boys. Just a humble Garbo dribbler here. Up before the birds, picking them up and putting them down, boys. And as I sit here and ponder and think, I think about the trucking nut hat, if I qualify for one of those. It comes to my attention that there's a high chance that I am legitimately trucking nut. If you think about it, we're picking up the nation's rubbish, and there's a high chance that there's nut in there, just shifting it from one side of town to the next. So, it gets me thinking, do I qualify to wear one of those glorious hats? Anyway, boys, keep up the good work. Manly forever. Every other team, never.
You definitely qualify.
Mate, send your details to turbo@hellasport.com.au. We'll get you out a nut trucker trucker hat because you're out there trucking nut for the nation.
Yeah, trucking nut. But, and it could be either human seed or it could be like actual nuts that have been discarded.
Well, I interpreted that in a variety of ways. Yeah. I reckon he's trucked old Steedens. I reckon he's trucked dead loads. Yeah. I reckon he's trucked...
actual, like, you know, discarded cashews.
Pecans, cashews, almonds,
pistachios,
peanuts, pistachios.
Beer nuts.
Almonds. Et
al.
Et cetera.
So you qualify, bro, 100%. Punters and dribblers, hellosport.shop. The trucker hats may still be available. Probably a couple left as of time. If you get in, if you're an early bird type operator and it's 6 a.m. and you're listening to this, there's probably a couple left. Maybe, maybe not. Get in while the getting's good. Limited a dish. Fucking terrific.
Won't be coming back.
Won't be coming back.
So anyway, that's us.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for still being here.
Thank you so much.
If you've existed through Cadbury fucking fountains and nits and
conspiracy theories,
then you've done well.
Macron's wife
or husband.
Or husband. Photoshopped royal photos.
Then hats off to you. I love your work. Shout out to the punter. Shout out to the dribbler. Shout out to Manly.
$10 pizzas. Go Manly.
Go Manly.
Ciao.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.